Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, beginning at verse 36 and a few verses after that. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, the one who had invited him to the dinner, and asked, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown." And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Well, that's a pretty interesting scene, looking not only at what was occurring, but who was involved there. The scene is a dinner party hosted by a Pharisee. He was a member of the religious society of self-appointed professional religionists, so to speak. They laid out the rules of religious behavior that they deemed appropriate for other people to follow. The Pharisees involved in the story believed that accepted religion consisted of temple laws, rituals, and traditions. To them, religion was more about how you looked with appropriate piety and behavior, the right clothing, saying the right things, regular church and worship attendance at the prescribed times. All the religious to-dos which got in the way of a relationship with God. All the things that Jesus was always pushing back on back then, and he pushes back on today. But instead, Jesus explained time and time again to the Pharisees back then that the message of faith of which he spoke was demonstrated in a relationship with him and began from within. It sprang up out of a heart of love and caring, loving God, not keeping rules or regulations. The central focus of his message was that the way of his kingdom is first, foremost, and above all, a matter of the heart, of what's inside. True faith was not reflected in outward appearances, but came from a heart seeking after God. It was a matter of surrender to the leading of God, with God first in all things, a desire to know and please him, to serve and reflect him in our words and actions to the world around us. That is who we must be to the world. That must be our identity, the identity which the world would attribute to us as they watched us in our journey, an identity which answers the question, "Who are you?" with the answer, "I am a child of God." So there they were, a group of Pharisees having a dinner party. I wonder what their conversation was about. Probably enough to bore you and me stiff. I'm guessing there was probably no music playing in the background. Just wondering whether there was or not. Not sure. And the food, well, straight by their religious book. And then Jesus enters the room. Then what do you think they began talking about? But after Jesus enters, well, then in walks this woman. Now what? All the rules, the regulations, the protocols are all out the door. The Pharisees, no doubt, were beside themselves. Surely they thought this is going to get around in temple circles that they were consorting with a woman of the night at their dinner gathering. You know that Jesus had to know that this was going to happen, and probably had a wry smile on his face as he watched it all unfold before him. And can't you just imagine the faces of the Pharisees when this sinful woman makes her appearance? And then she stayed uninvited, mind you, and began to wet Jesus' feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured the perfume from her jar on them and kept wiping his feet with her hair. Jeez. I mean, this was probably worse for the Pharisees to experience and watch than having to watch Jesus heal on the Sabbath, which they also made sure to object to when he did it. But her act of worship may be one of the most sincere, most beautiful, and authentic statements of faith in all of Scripture. She risked everything of what little she had left to anoint Christ, to love him. She knew perfectly well that those holier-than-thou Pharisees stoned women like her and just may stone her as well, but she risked it all anyway. She pushed everything she had into the middle of the table, her most precious possession, which she used to make herself more desirable, the perfume to put on her, more to make her more desirable in her only and most lonely profession, that alabaster jar of perfume. She poured all of it. In the Gospel of Mark, it's recorded that she broke the jar and then used it and poured it all on Christ's feet, a selfless, sacrificial profession of faith in Christ. She walked out of the shadows of sin that she had been living in and into the light of Christ. She came clean. She reached out and fell full face on the grace, the unmerited love of God. She sought a relationship with the only one she finally realized could save her. She wasn't sure how to get past all the religious rules and the barricades to get to the one she had heard of as the long-awaited Messiah. She never got the religious steps and rules right. She wasn't part of the in-group. She was a sinner looking in from the outside. And there she was in that room with those holier-than-thou Pharisees, but also with Christ. So she pushed past the criticism and fear, past her past, past the shame, past the guilt she was dragging around, past all the religious idols, the rules, the regulations and requirements, the moralism, the legalism and judgments. She didn't want a religion or a relationship based on or identified with those rules, those idols, those fake gods, things she could never and should never have to live up to or to satisfy. She pushed past all of that to the only thing that could save her, the grace of God. All she wanted was a relationship with Christ, the one who wanted a relationship with her, and the one who could and would change her life. Interestingly, if you stop and think about it, according to those Pharisees around the dinner table, the sinful life that she was living disqualified her absolutely from even approaching the throne of God's grace, from even approaching the giver of life. She wasn't holy enough. She shouldn't even be in that room with them or Jesus. When in fact, and something those pious self-proclaimed experts in the religious law would never understand, her sin was the only thing that qualified her and the only thing that qualifies you and me to come and to receive the overwhelming, the life-changing grace of God. And so she surrendered to the only one who could help her, just a sinner, saved by grace, lost, then found, saved forever by grace. What is it we need to surrender, to get past, turn over, to pour out, and to give up? All those things that are still keeping us from that full and real relationship with the God of all creation. Your job, your stuff or search for stuff and comfort, all your ladder climbing ventures seeking success, acceptance in the inner circles, a habit you need to toss before it becomes an addiction, a decision holding you and others back in life, someone you need to forgive, maybe yourself, maybe a yearning for the acceptance you've never got as a child. What is it that's holding you back? You know what? That guy That guy who had the perfume poured on his feet by the lady of the night in that story and wiped clean by her with her hair is the same guy whose birth we're about to celebrate again in a few weeks. His birth, the greatest gift ever given. Yes, better than a car, better than a trophy, a national championship, $1 million, all the lottery winnings in all the states. The best gift ever. And she knew it. The greatest gift. Seems appropriate any time then, but especially around this time of year to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yes, my friends, to simply say, thank God. Lost? Not sure the next step in your life? So why not go and sit before the same Christ that precious sinful woman sat before and do what she did? Give it all to him. Push it all to the center of the table. Surrender it all to him. Be with him. Then follow him. Only him. Always and in all ways. You know what? You will never be alone, and you will never be the same. Let me pray for us. Father, I just thank you. Wow. Thank you for just continuing to be patient with slow learners like me. All the folks calling in, all my friends listening to this, they get it, I'm sure. I'm just slower than most, Lord. So just thank you for your patience with me. But help me to remember, Lord, it's you. It's there in your presence where I become all that you created me to be. Lost in so many different ways, but found always by your grace, renewed every day by your grace. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for me, for my friends, for all of us as we come to you, realizing we'll never be alone and we'll never be the same. Be with those friends who've lost a loved one. Lord, be with all of us for the decisions that we face at the moment. Help us, those of us struggling with financial needs, Lord, that we need to meet in the midst of whatever we face, whatever, may we remember to push it all to the center of the table, to surrender it all to you, to trust you, to guide and direct us, to hold us, to never, never leave us. And we know that we will never be alone. And with you, forever and ever, we will never be the same. Thank you, Lord. And help us, help you to touch others so that they too become all that you created them to be and realize that with you, they are never alone and they will never be as they were, but always be all that they can be with you. Thanks for loving us. In your son's precious, precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.